In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thy only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, the 20th Sunday after Trinity, is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, and reads as follows. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Now sing hymn 400. The gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, and reads as follows. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, and reads as follows. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, the scriptures plainly teach that children are a great blessing from God. The home structure of husband and wife and children is a beautiful arrangement. When it is a Christian home full of love, united in the saving Christian faith, having Christ as the head of the house and the Bible as the foundation of the family. But because of sin in the world, parents and children very often get angry with each other and disrupt the nice peace that should be there in the home. The old Adam of children often causes them to resent the authority of the parents. They don't always want to have to obey, and they long for freedom and independence. And the old Adam of parents can cause them to resent the heavy responsibility of being parents. That is a great responsibility, a lot of work. The parents may sometimes resent that and want to have some freedom from that responsibility. In a similar way, peace and joy in the workplace is often disrupted or completely destroyed when employees resent the authority of their bosses and when employers do not treat their employees very kindly. But whether the workplace or the home is relatively peaceful or hostile, the responsibilities that God gives to parents and children and employees and employers still stays the same. So then let us review on the basis of our text for today what these responsibilities are and take to heart the important instruction for children, parents, employees, and employers. In the first place, we shall consider the God-given responsibilities of those under authority, children and employees. And secondly, the God-given responsibilities of those who are in authority, namely parents and employers. Now may God, the Holy Ghost, bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. Our text for today begins with a very simple and straightforward command, namely, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, it is true that all children everywhere should obey their parents. But the Apostle Paul is here directing his words of inspiration to Christian children, as is clear from the words that he adds, in the Lord. that is in connection with their saving faith in the Lord. In this way, our text stresses that the main motivation for children obeying their parents, if they are Christian children, should be to serve the Lord, to exercise their Christian faith and love in the Lord Jesus by being obedient children. Children need to remember that God Himself has placed them under the authority of their parents, so if their parents are despised, God is being despised. If the children are obeying their parents in love, they are showing their love for the Lord and obeying the commandment of God. It is therefore important that Christian parents insist that their children obey them and follow the fourth commandment, and not for self-serving reasons, but because this is a command of God, and Christian parents are to direct their children to follow the commands of the Lord in love for their dear Savior. Of course, God is not pleased with only an outward, superficial obedience that does not proceed from faith and love. If the children from their hearts do not really want to obey their parents, but are inwardly grumbling about it, that kind of outward obedience is not pleasing to God at all. It is sin. The same thing is true of servants, employees. Their service must be done from the heart to the Lord. As St. Paul writes later in our text, in verses 5 through 7, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart," simply means sincerity of your heart, "as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men." And obviously God always knows exactly what is in the heart. So He knows when children are unwillingly obeying their parents. They know when employees are only unwillingly obeying and grumbling about it, even if only inside their hearts. And God is not pleased with that. That is not what God commands in our text. To obey outwardly while murmuring and complaining inwardly is still a breaking of the fourth commandment, which the Apostle Paul quotes in our text in verse 2, where he writes, "Honor thy father and mother." To honor our parents means to love them, to respect them, to treasure them. That command to honor parents is a command of God directed right to the heart. A child is not honoring his parents if he only obeys them outwardly, while in his heart he's mocking them or ridiculing them. Then he's not giving them proper honor. No, honoring parents has to begin in the heart. And if it is there in the heart, then it will also show itself outwardly by gladly serving and obeying the parents. Now, it should be understood that every command of Scripture is important because it's a command of God. And all of God's laws are to be respected and followed by us, His believing children. The breaking of any commandment is hated by God. It's grievous in His sight. It is worthy of damnation. To impress these things upon us, the Lord threatens His punishment upon those who break His commandments and promises His gracious blessings to those who keep His commandments. So the Lord declares in Exodus chapter 20, "I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." This threat and punishment applies to all of God's commandments, So it certainly also applies to the fourth commandment, which is the focus of our text for today. We are told in the book of Proverbs, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." That is a picturesque way of saying that those who do not honor their parents as God requires deserve punishment. Ultimately, we deserve the punishment of hell for all the times that we've broken God's fourth commandment. So let us all be so thankful that the Lord sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from all our sins and iniquity, to purchase for us the forgiveness of all our sins by his precious blood and by his innocent suffering and death. By faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we Christians have the blessed assurance that all of our sins are forgiven. We all certainly need that forgiveness for all the times that we did not give our parents or employers the honor that God's law requires of us. We should so greatly value the forgiveness of sins that we have in Christ that in gratitude we strive to improve, become better at following the fourth commandment in love, giving our parents and employers honor, serving and obeying them, holding them in love and esteem. By faith in Jesus, we are able to follow the fourth commandment through the new man that the Holy Ghost has given to us. And God makes it clear that he is very pleased with his children when they follow the fourth commandment, because he attaches to it a glorious promise. We read in our text, "Honor thy father and mother," which is the first or foremost commandment with promise, "that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Likewise, later in our text, we have a promise of God's gracious blessing upon those servants who honor and obey their masters. Reading in verse 8, "Whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond, a slave, or free." By adding such a promise of blessing, the Lord impresses upon us the importance and benefit of keeping the fourth commandment. Therefore, we Christians should gladly and willingly strive to follow God's commandments in love and gratitude for his grace in Christ Jesus, not simply because we're trying to get a long and prosperous life out of it. Now, in a discussion of fourth commandment principles, we should also remember that we are not only required to honor our parents and employers, but all the authorities that he's placed over us. So that would include teachers in the school, the pastor in the church, government officials in the city, state, and country. Since it is by the will and ordinance of God that these people have been placed in authority over us, we are to honor and obey them in all things. Really, the only time that we are permitted to disobey them is if they command us to sin against God, for of course we ought to obey God rather than men. But not only does God give commands in our text to those who are under authority, children, employees, students, laymen, and citizens, he also gives command to those who are in authority over others: parents, employers, teachers, pastors, government officials, and so on. Those people are not to abuse their power for their own selfish gains or fleshly satisfaction. Rather, they are to use the power and authority that God has given them really for the benefit of those who are under them. And if they are Christians, to show their faith in Christ in how they treat those who are under their authority. So we see in our text for today that after setting forth the God-given responsibilities of servants to their masters, the Apostle Paul continues in verse 9, "And ye masters, do the same things unto them," namely the servants, "forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. That God is not a respecter of persons simply means that he does not play favorites. He doesn't treat people differently based on their social standing. Our heavenly master, the judge of all, treats both slave and master alike according to his holy and just law. Or for Christians, according to his gracious promises of mercy and forgiveness in the gospel. In like manner, our text gives parents important instruction about how they should be raising their children, saying, this is verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now that instruction applies equally to fathers and mothers, both parents, but the fathers are specifically mentioned because they are the God-appointed heads of the household. If, however, the father refuses to do his Christian duty in bringing up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, if he himself is not a Christian, well, then the mother has to do all the work herself. This is what took place with Timothy, the co-worker of the Apostle Paul. His father was an unbeliever, but his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois taught him the Word of God from the time he was a child. So that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now, Christian fathers are told in our text not to provoke their children to wrath. In other words, they should not be doing things that would push the children to sin against the fourth and fifth commandments. Now, that can easily be done if the parents are abusing their power and authority and treating their children in an unfair, unloving way. However, it should never be thought that good Christian discipline, even measured physical punishments in love, need to be avoided to avoid provoking the children to wrath. That's what modern psychologists would say. But the Bible does not agree with such humanistic reasoning. In fact, it says the opposite. It commends physical discipline even. In the book of Proverbs, we're told, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And again, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." And again, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." And again, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell." Now, that does not mean that the physical punishment itself is a means of grace whereby we are saved, but it does show how such godly discipline of a child can be an effective tool in teaching the child to avoid sinful behavior, which would be destructive to his soul. Parents always need to be careful, however, that they do not take out their anger and frustrations upon their children. The discipline, the punishments that are used, should only always be given in love, out of concern for the children, out of concern for the welfare of their souls. If love is the ruling force in the discipline, then it will not be at fault for provoking the children to wrath. Now, a great deal of what has been said about good parenting is similar to what God requires of employers toward their employees. They're also not to provoke their employees to wrath by unfair, abusive treatment. They are to treat them with love, possibly even disciplining them or firing them if required. But there is a special aspect of the requirement that God lays upon parents that does not really have a parallel in what's required of employers toward their employees, and that is the responsibility of parents to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is a responsibility that God gives to parents toward the precious souls which God has entrusted to their care. They're to be brought up to know their Savior, Jesus Christ. They're to be taught to trust in Him for the forgiveness of their sins. They're also to be taught to obey Him in love. Now, one of the ways that parents do this is by bringing their children to church and Sunday school regularly and consistently. But let no father or mother think that that is where their Christian training of the children is to start and end. Really, the home is where the children should first be taught the Word of God. The parents are to be the first teachers of God's Word. Again, our text for today lays that responsibility on parents. Yes, they are to bring their children to church and Sunday school. And it is important that the parents reinforce those teachings at home and be careful that they do not undermine or contradict the teachings of Scripture by showing an opposite behavior or teaching in the home. It is so very important for parents to set a good example for their children, showing by their words and actions that the Lord and His Word are the most important thing in life. So then we, parents and children alike, should have the Word of God not only in our hearts, but also on our lips. We should feel comfortable talking to our family members about the Word of God, and thus build up and strengthen each other in the Word. This is what the Lord tells us all to do in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. May the Lord help us all to do this better, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. give thee heartfelt thanks for all thy blessings of body and soul. And as our thank offering, we place before thee of the temporal blessings that thou hast given to us, and we pray that thou wilt bless these offerings for thy mercy's sake. Amen. Let us rise to pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, who for them that love thee makest all things work together for good. In the precious name of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, we give thanks unto thee for all things, for thy mercy in times of adversity and affliction, for thy goodness in the love of family and the companionship of friends, and for thy strengthening help in paths of hardships and temptation, for thy bounty in knowledge and wisdom, and for light when the way is dark and unknown. But especially do we thank thee for the gift of thy dear Son, by whose death and resurrection thou hast brought unto us life and everlasting life. Grant, O Father, that we may be filled with thy Holy Spirit, so that we may have a good understanding of thy word, that we may walk faithfully therein in obedience and love. Enlighten our minds that we may rescue the fleeting hours of this life from evil and foolishness by laying hold of every opportunity to do good. Transform our hearts so that we may find joy not in iniquity, but in worship of thee, communion with our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of thy people. Furnish us, O Lord, with such grace that with our robes washed in the blood of the Lamb, we may appear in sinless perfection before the heavenly bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Grant unto us a readiness to sacrifice, a zeal for thy cause, and a faithfulness to thy word, that we may never falter in our holy calling as Christians and in our walk with thee, O Lord. Give repentance unto thy people and clothe them with the garments of faith, hope, and love. Send thy servants unto all nations, opening the hearts of all who hear thy gospel, and crown their labors with success. We pray for our seminary. Dear Lord, our need is great, and thou hast told us in thy word that there is something lacking in a Christian congregation where the pastoral office is not established and properly supported. We beseech thee, move the hearts of men throughout our conference with the earnest desire to serve thee in the pastoral office and to enroll in our seminary, that thy word may continue to be preached and taught in our congregations in all its truth and purity. Bestow thy grace and merciful kindness upon Pastor Leitz, and if it be thy will, grant him the strength and stamina needed to continue ministering to the flock committed to his care and oversight. Rest thy hand of protection upon our brethren in Nigeria and Russia, and make all their burdens light by impressing upon their hearts the magnitude of thy loving kindness in the gospel. Especially we beseech thee to bless the wife of Pastor Fineface, Abira, who was recently hospitalized after battling malaria and typhoid fever. Look upon her with the eyes of thy mercy. Comfort her with a sense of thy goodness. Preserve her from the temptations of Satan. Give her patience during her convalescence and encourage her with signs of healing and regained strength according to thy good pleasure. If it please thee, restore her health and help her to receive thy visitation as a sign of thy boundless love and grace. And to this end, we commend her to thee as unto a faithful and merciful God for Jesus' sake, in whose name we furthermore pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, holy and righteous God, who has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, and has given us our allotted season of grace. We beseech thee, since the days are evil, and because we are easily misled through the weakness of our mortal nature, impart to us the grace of thy Holy Spirit, that we may redeem the time, receive Christ Jesus in his word as our only Savior, walk soberly and circumspectly in this present world, give thee praise and thanks always, and at last obtain the crown of life everlasting by thy grace, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 4 of hymn 422. We should make the following announcements. As was decided in last Sunday's special voters meeting, our regular monthly voters meeting will be held next Sunday after church instead of today. Since this Thursday is the third Sunday of the month, we'll be having our Thursday evening Bible class at 7 p.m. And at the suggestion of the ushers, we're going to do something different. We're going to exit through there. The thinking is that it will hopefully prevent congestion in the narthex. Hopefully it won't be too confusing. It doesn't mean you have to leave and go right to your car. You can circle back and enjoy visiting with your brethren, but we're just going to try exiting through that door. Now may the Lord be with you all on your homeward way.